Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org.
We are going to read our gospel passage. Eric is going to come and read our passage for us. Hey, before Eric reads this, I want to introduce you to Benjamin Wills. Those of you who don't remember, a few months ago, Benjamin was with us. Actually, over a year ago now, Benjamin was with us. Benjamin is a priest that lives down in the English Avenue neighborhood down in Fulton County, near kind of the convention center and the dome and all that kind of stuff. Benjamin is the head of Peace Prep Academy down there, which is an amazing school for kids in the English Avenue neighborhood, and is also serving as a priest at a sister church down in that neighborhood as well. And I didn't mention this in the first service, but the last time Benjamin was with us, they were raising funds to purchase the school building that they were in, and just last week or 2 weeks ago, week and a half? 2 weeks ago, they closed on that building, and they were able to raise $1.25 million and paid all cash for it, which is awesome. So those students now have a future home, and there's a lot of amazing things that are happening at Peace Prep. That's not what he's going to talk about today, but if you want to grab him on the way out and find out more about what they're doing, it's worth finding out about. Eric, would you come and read us our gospel passage, and then I'll bring Benjamin up to pray for us.
Luke 17, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, If you had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and recline at the table"? Will he not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward will you eat and drink?" Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty." Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. God, you are good. As we sung about this morning, as it's just marinating in my heart, you are the waymaker. That is who you are. And God, even when we can't feel it, even when we can't see it, I pray that you would make us more aware of the abundance and the steadfast nature of your love towards us, your children, your sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be before you, to speak through me, Lord. I ask that your Holy Spirit would powerfully deliver these words from this gospel text in a way that resonates with our lives and causes us to have a deeper understanding of what it means to follow you. Lord, I ask that in this moment I would decrease and you would increase, and that your power would go forth in healing and restoring the lives of the people in this room. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you guys so much for having me. Not part of the sermon, but do want to say, hopefully you cut this out of the recording. It's been such a treat to worship this morning with you guys. I typically worship sort of like this. Stop that. Get away from here. Don't do that. With five little people next to me. And so it has just been such a treat to just be by myself in the presence of the Lord and with friends. So thank you guys for that this morning. But I will now come from this text. So in his lifetime, it is said that George Mueller served over 10,000 orphans. That's a staggering number. And I'm still learning about George Mueller, but there's a couple of things I find fascinating about his life and that I think apply directly to this moment that we're in right now, this morning. One is that while he served 10,000 in his lifetime, he started with just 30, which is still a big number, but 30 in his home that he was renting, just what he had. The other thing I find particularly interesting about his faith and connects a little bit with my journey is that he never asked anyone for a specific amount of money, yet everything that he did was fueled by generosity. There's stories about Mueller and the orphanage of them sitting down at the table with no food, giving thanks to God and blessing a meal that would then arrive. Someone would knock at the door and deliver their provisions. This is incredible to consider that kind of faith. And there's an example of that that he recorded in his own autobiography that I want to read to you from February 12, 1842. A brother in the Lord came to me this morning and after a few minutes of conversation gave me £2,000 for furnishing the new orphan house. Now I'm able to meet all of the expenses. In all probability, I will have even several hundred pounds more than I need. The Lord not only gives as much as is absolutely necessary for his work, but he gives abundantly. This blessing filled me with inexplicable delight. He had given me the full answer to my thousands of prayers during the past 1,195 days. Now, what I want to connect to our text today is this idea of thousands of prayers. This idea of 1,195 days, because in this, Mueller is recognizing something that I want us to recognize, that God is not contained to the day of the miracle, or the moment of deliverance, or the moment of salvation, or the realization of the faith that you've been having. And when Mueller counts these days, it strikes me as an acknowledgement that he was trusting God each and every one of those days. He was living a life of ordinary faith in each of those days. And I would imagine in some of those days, he didn't feel it and he didn't see it, but he was asking God to move. And we live in this culture that prioritizes the moment that we can celebrate or the moments we can capture on top of the mountain. We live in this sort of selfie, Instagram culture that has polluted our souls to think that the only moments that matter are the ones we captured. If you didn't take a picture, did it really even happen? And this has done damage to our souls. And what I want us to see this day is that Jesus is asking us to reorient ourselves to a life of ordinary faith that demonstrates that we trust and believe that anything is possible with him. What I want us to hear this morning is that, Lord, increase our faith is not just a petition for a moment or a miracle. That the response that Jesus gives can tell us something because it's a radical invitation to trust in the King of the universe with our simple, ordinary faith and our simple, ordinary days. If we're honest this morning, the response Jesus gives would challenge most of us personally. But more than that, it would confound the world around us. It's an invitation to live out an ordinary, daily faithfulness that will bear witness to the one that we put our faith in. A little bit of faith in a really big God. So the big idea this morning is this: ordinary faith orients us to a reality that our faith is in the King of the universe. I love that we sang these songs about the kingdom this morning. This is the language we need to get in our souls, that we serve a great king and his kingdom rules and reigns. So let's unpack this story a little bit. It starts with this bold statement or question. We've already talked about that. Lord, increase our faith. And I think Jesus' response is kind of odd because we're not really agrarian people. So most of us have probably not held a mustard seed, but it's a little tiny thing. And maybe we've seen a mulberry tree, maybe not. There's these 100-year-old oak trees in our community, so that's what I'm picturing. That this little tiny thing can uproot this massive thing. And I think what Jesus is doing here is reorienting us to this understanding that it's not the size of our faith that matters. The amount of faith has no correlation to the power in whom we are placing that faith. And what he's doing by using nature and by using this understanding is reminding us that you're not putting your faith in a system or a thing or simply a person. You're putting your faith in God, the creator of the whole universe, the Lord of all creation, the one who rules and reigns, and the one with whom nothing is impossible. So it doesn't matter how big or how much. It matters who you're placing your faith in. It's a God who can do anything. But there's an important thing for us to understand and a caution this morning, because what he says next reorients the disciples again. That God's ability to do anything does not mean that God will do everything in the timing or the ways in which we want him to do it. It's important to distinguish that, because a belief in God or a faith in God or living out this reality that God rules and reigns can be difficult and can be wearisome when we realize things in our life aren't moving the way we want them to move, or the world doesn't look exactly as we think that it should. And so by this understanding, ordinary faith then is this understanding that it's not measured by our size, but it's a faith that will cause us to look at the world in a new way. It will give us eyes to see. When we sing, even when we can't see it, a good thing to think about is, how could the Lord change our vision so that we can always see God working around us? How could we live when all of our interactions, all of our coming and going is soaked by a God-shaped reality that we are in the presence of a king? And we need this faith because our world is broken, because it is fractured. You probably didn't need me to come this morning and remind you of that. The Lord is probably doing that in his own way, or you're probably seeing that. If you watch the news, or you listen to the radio, or you are in a relationship with another human, then you've experienced brokenness regularly. I want to just give you one moment and allow the Lord to bring to your mind a situation you are in right now where you're thinking, Lord, come quickly. Now, the Lord may have brought to your mind a global issue, something like clean water, something like what Canopy Life is involved in Kenya, wars, poverty. Or the Lord might have brought to your mind a local issue. Maybe it's systemic injustice. Maybe it's race relations. Maybe it's brokenness in your community that your neighbors are experiencing. Maybe it's right in your home or your life. Maybe it's you. I need healing, Lord. Come quickly. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your distant or close family. And in all of that, you're saying, Lord, come. And what we do need to be reminded of is how powerful God is. You don't need me to remind you how broken the world is. You need me to remind you that God is in the business of bringing everything back into order. The good news of the gospel that we were singing about this morning is that it's good news for the poor. It's good news for the oppressed, that the blind will receive sight, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the dead can raise. Nothing is impossible with God. The good news is that this Jesus, this King, this waymaker we're singing about, he is the great restorer. He is the great healer. He is the great redeemer. He is bringing all of creation back into rhythm with his initial plans and purposes. And he's doing that, and he's orienting us to that all through the daily, ordinary moments of our life. And what God is not looking for are suggestions on how to make the world better. What he is looking for are people who are willing to submit their daily, simple, ordinary lives to his will and purposes and plans. And the question is, will we be those people where we have simple, ordinary faith? This is what he's asking the disciples in this next movement by sharing this story about the servants expecting to be thanked for their service or completing their duty. And that's what's really challenging for us. We want to be thanked for the things we do for God, right? In our minds or in our hearts. But God is saying, this is just what you were made to do, and then I got things that I do. And I need to reorient you to the order in which those things happen. So you do your simple, daily, ordinary. I'll do my King of the Universe thing. But the reality is, it is hard to see this. It is hard to see God in the changing of a diaper. It's hard to see God in the cooking of a meal. It's hard to see God in the washing of dishes, the folding of laundry, the driving of carpool, the holding the door for somebody, the making coffee, the making your bed, the fill in the blank with whatever monotonous thing you don't really typically love doing, or maybe you do. But if God can reorient us and reshape those moments to be soaked in his presence, what a powerful witness we would be to the world. What a powerful witness it would be if we were the kinds of people who bore witness to the kingdom by living non-anxiously in the security that the king and the kingdom are reigning and ruling. But this is not easy. It is a little bit easier, maybe, perhaps, to live in those mountaintop moments. It's easier to live scrolling through our Instagram feed, thinking about the highlights of our life, than it is all the other days. A couple things to just share with you, because I do bear witness to some of these miraculous moments, but it's hard for me then to come down to everyday life. As Eddie shared with you, a week and a half ago, we finished this campaign to raise $1.25 million and become debt-free owners of a building and land. It was miraculous from start to finish. It took over a year. It was filled with days that people said, no, not right now. You are crazy. What are you doing? What is the plan? And in all of it, we just kept saying, God, you, will you listen? Do we trust God? And I can't stand here and say every single one of those days my faith was at like a 10 out of 10. Some days it was like at a 0.5. But God only needs it to be at a 0.1. Right? And he did an incredible miracle before us. I've also seen kids who are functionally orphans, no parents, staying on couches of family members, learn how to read. I've seen them learn how to lead, and I've seen them begin to believe that Jesus loves them and they're powerful. About a month ago, I had the opportunity to baptize a guy on our staff who's 60 years old, who has walked and lived in our neighborhood longer than I've been alive, but who came to faith through knowing somebody in our staff. And he shared before I baptized them, I know thousands of people, but you all are my friends. And I got to see him go from death to life publicly before his friends. These are miraculous moments. But there's only a handful of days I can think about, maybe 10, maybe more if I sat down and tried really hard, that God was showing up in this way. And my wife and I have lived in this neighborhood over 9 years, and I calculated that as roughly 3,285 days. So on those other 3,275 days, all the Lord was asking me for was my simple, ordinary faith. Would I cut my grass? Would I water my plants? Would I love on my kids? Would I walk? Would I pray? Would I believe that he could show up? Would I sit on the porch and wait on him to show up? And I think that was the coolest thing about completing the campaign. People didn't say, wow, that's incredible, $1.25 million, that increases my faith. What people said was, what has increased my faith is watching you wait. Those ordinary moments of ordinary days are a witness that we trust and believe in the King of the universe. Just have a little mustard seed faith in all your ordinary moments, and see where God wants to be with you. The King of the universe wants to be with you. Brother Lawrence, in his work, The Practice of the Presence of God, says something about the King that I think we all need to be reminded of. It says this: this King, full of mercy and goodness, very far from chastising me, embraces me with love. He makes me eat at his table. He serves me with his own hands. He gives me the key of his treasures. He converses and delights himself with me incessantly in a thousand ways, and he treats me in all respects as his favorite. Friends, this daily ordinary faith that I'm talking about is taking each day, each moment, and turning our attention to this King who is delighting over us. In a thousand ways, he delights in us. And this King gives us the opportunity to respond in his service, not for thanks, not for praise, but because we believe he's about doing the work of making everything wrong in the world right. And he asks us to join him in healing the hurt in the world around us. And he wants to heal us in the brokenness in us. Our ordinary faith has the power to orient us to a reality that our faith is in the King of the universe. And so the question for us is, how do we have our hearts shaped to live in the awareness of this reality, if this is the reality? And I would submit to you one thing with two applications: that we cultivate noticing. Another way to say it is, go to the sacred listening class. I'm sure Eddie's class will be great too, but go to the sacred listening class. Cultivate noticing in your own life. So on a personal, daily way, cultivate noticing. A really powerful way to do this is using the prayer of examine by St. Ignatius. If you're a rule of life person, this is something I would highly consider that you throw in there as a daily rhythm, that each day you sit down, you take a deep breath, and you say, Holy Spirit, would you show me the moments of this day where you were at work? And would you show me the ones that I missed? Spoiler alert, he was at work in every moment. But it takes us time to reorient and begin to see that. And we will develop new eyes. We will develop new ears to see and hear where God is at work if we would sit down before the presence of the Holy Spirit and ask God for the ability to notice where he's at work in the world. Another way to do this is communally, is to notice the faith around you. Notice the people around you who are living and serving as faithful witnesses in their ordinary life. So a couple weeks ago, I was at Discount Tire because I found a screw in my tire, and I had to get 4 new tires. So this is no one's best day, but you make the best of it. And I'm in there with, you know, the stale coffee and the soft music, and I realize that it's this, like, contemporary Christian music. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. I like this. This has a peaceful vibe. And then I walk over to the window where you can see them working on your car, and I see this guy down on the floor cleaning out a drain. And I was like, that's kind of neat. And then I look up and I see his picture on the wall, and he's wearing a suit, and it says, I'm your manager, Steven. See me if you need anything. And I realized that's the same guy. And it was remarkable to me that the guy who could tell everybody else what to do was willing to get down on his hands and knees and clean out the drain. It sounds a little bit like the example of Jesus stooping down to be with us, right? And so he came back in, and I said to him, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, are you a Christian? Take it or leave it if you like that question. But he says, yes. He's very businesslike. And I said, well, I just want you to know I'm a priest. I'm preparing this text, and I noticed Jesus in you. Just in the simple, ordinary thing you're doing, you bore witness to the kingdom. This is heavy for Discount Tire probably, but if you're going to go, you just go all in, right? And he just stands up straight, says thank you, and shakes my hand. And then he's like, your car will be ready soon, and kind of skirts away. So I don't, whatever you want to take of that. But I think if we cultivated a kind of reality in which we pointed that out more, we could normalize that. We could high-five a mom who's wrestling around with her little kids. We could thank a teacher who's serving faithfully in a local school. We could see a firefighter or a policeman or a garbage worker or anyone sitting next to you and just say, hey, high five on that coffee today. It was better than yesterday. Just these simple, ordinary things that we do have an opportunity to bear witness that our ordinary faith in the hands of a king of the universe can do incredible things. And we might be a more grateful people. We might be a more joyful people if we started to do this. But I want to caution you, because if you try to do this, things might get harder. So I've been sitting with this for a couple of weeks, and you know, you might forget to plug the crock pot in and realize your dinner is not ready when you get home. You might drop a cast iron skillet in the sink and break a bowl. Your kids might start wrestling on the floor in Walmart. None of these things happened to me in the last 2 weeks. But what you can begin to do is notice that each of these moments is an invitation by God to realize that he's delighting in us in 1,000 of 1,000 ways. And when my kids were wrestling in Walmart yesterday, I was able to just smile and accept it as an invitation to be reminded that I'm living in a God-soaked reality, even in a long line in Walmart where 90% of the time people are really not happy. And we could be a powerful countercultural example for the kinds of people Jesus wants to raise up when we say increase our faith. And he says, just give me a little. Just give me your ordinary moments in your ordinary days, because I'm at work in the world. Friends, God is at work in our world. God is still able to do even more than we could ask or imagine. He is able to invade every moment of our lives if we're open to it. Are you open to that? And so I would ask you, in one of those moments where you break something or someone screams or traffic is more than it used to be or things aren't going well because you're trying to see God at work. You could say this breath prayer. It's probably two breaths, but Lord, use the ordinary moments of my day to do what you please with me and in me. And see how God might begin to shape your heart to see him at work in the world and how much joy that could produce in you and in those around you. How that could radically transform every ordinary moment of every ordinary day, which is every day. We don't live for day 1,195. We don't live for day 3,275. We live in every single moment of every single day. And the invitation from Jesus is to be fully alive with a little bit of faith in a really big God. Pray with me this morning. God, give us ears to hear and eyes to see where you are at work in our world. Remind us by the power of your Holy Spirit that you are righting everything that's wrong, that we have an opportunity to live right on the edge of the space where earth and heaven collide, and that it is a radical invitation to live as just ordinary people who have a God who looks at them and in a thousand ways delights. I pray, Lord, that right now in the sound of my voice, you would remind someone how much you delight in them, and you would invite them personally to take their ordinary moments and put them in your hand, their little bit of faith that could throw a mulberry tree out of its roots. Thank you, God, for who you are. And thank you that you love us and we have an opportunity to respond in love to you. It's in your heavenly name we pray.